What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free. That's what the teacher said to me. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends. I learned that murderers die for the crimes, even if we make a mistake sometimes.
Well, no, I've been told I can't swear.
That's just,
well, you know, I'm a sailor, man. It's like, you know, like I don't just swear.
I don't just swear.
I'm like that guy's dad in A Christmas Story, man. You know, it's an art form to me. It's like
Tammy's a filthy, filthy woman.
Oh, that's going on the podcast.
Oh yeah, we started 1:22 ago. Okay, do you guys mind? I got stuff to do here to start.
What do you mean? What are you gonna? Does it involve you?
You're not gonna take your time to be quiet.
You're not gonna take your clothes off again.
No,
right?
I've got intros. I've got sponsorship. I've got.
Oh God, man, we could go watch a movie and come back.
I watch a movie. I fall asleep.
Do you guys mind?
No,
this big time stuff here.
Well, if you would just start, we would all shut the hell up.
That's enough time for another Bloody Mary.
Really?
That's for sure.
It's like, go on, man.
If you did. Okay. My goodness. Wait, you're on four. Okay. Four is now off. It is episode 10. What did I say it was? I forget now. 104.
104.
You're off, Les. I turned you off.
104.
Thanks for tuning in. Episode 104 of the Mile High Show. This is Matt Santos, your host. And I am recording at Cork and Cuisine in Prescott Valley today. We had a nice breakfast here. Check them out, corkandcuisinepv.com. Links to their Facebook page and all that good stuff is right there. They are pretty active on Instagram and Facebook, so check them out. Some great, great food, some great beverages there at Center Court in Prescott Valley, right near the Harkins Theater and the Entertainment District, as they call it, the ED, the ED, not erectile dysfunction. But I guess too many Bloody Marys, you may experience that.
That was before Bloody Marys.
Yeah. You, is that something you suffer from, Tammy?
Well, no.
I am sitting here with some very good friends of mine, some old and dear friends from way, way back in my history, who I used to like a lot. They were good friends of mine until they kept me out till 3 a.m. and then woke me up at 8 a.m. So I basically want to punch them in the face now. Not real good friends anymore, but we came out for breakfast. Oh, yeah, we're brought to you this week by, as always, Amazon.com. Use the Amazon link at milehighshow.com to do all your online shopping. It tells Amazon you got to them through us, and they give us a little thank you every month. So please do all your shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but just bookmark milehighshow.com as your Amazon portal. And do all your shopping that way so we can afford to keep coming to places like Cork and Cuisine and watching drunks drink Bloody Marys at 10 a.m. We're also brought to you this week by the Big Pine Comedy Festival. Check them out online, bigpinecomedyfestival.com. That's going to be September 22nd through 24th up in Flagstaff at the Weatherford Hotel. A couple of days jam-packed of comedy, podcasting, sketch shows, stand-up, a little bit of everything. Ryan Stalder is the organizer of that. He was a guest here a few months ago, and a good guy. There's going to be dozens and dozens of folks from the national and Arizona comedy scene performing there. Check it out. Again, bigpinecomedyfestival.com. That's going to be in Flagstaff, September 22nd through 24th. Also, a friend of mine, Mr. Steve Simone what's his website? It changed. It used to be awesomesteve.com. Now it's goodtimesteve.com. He is also the host of the Good Times podcast, which you can get on Stitcher, iTunes, and all those good outlets. Steve Simone will be at the Arizona House of Comedy September 9th through 11th. Go check him out. I'll be down there to spend some time with Steve. az.houseofcomedy.net is where you can purchase tickets. Again, Steve Simone at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in Phoenix, September 9th through 11th. And check out Steve's podcast, The Good Times Show, on iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else you get. Okay, so we're sitting... What are you doing, Les? We're sitting here at Cork and Cuisine with some of my oldest friends in the world. Ronnie Pitts and his wife, Tammy. And then no stranger to the show, Mr. Leslie, not a serial killer, Earl Lyman, who joined us for breakfast. Ronnie.
Is my channel back on?
Oh, yeah. Here, hold on. Yeah, you're back on.
We turned him off.
Ronnie, how long have we known each other?
I think we met in the seventh grade.
Seventh grade. Yes. Calaroga Junior High School. And hey,
exactly.
What was Calaroga? What were we? The panther? What was it? A cat of some kind, wasn't it?
Yeah,
cougars?
It was
panthers?
A cougar, I think.
Leopards?
Yeah, something like that. It was some kind of a cat, yes. I don't remember what, though.
Keyboard cat?
I met...
I don't think so.
Your brother Clint, who was in eighth grade... Before I met you, and I met him through Bobby Garcia.
That's true, yeah.
Who has never been on this show, but has been a frequent topic of conversation whenever we talk about things like hangovers, incarceration.
And bad influences.
Bad
yes.
influences. That's where B.O.B., Bob Garcia, comes up. But I met Clint through Bob, and then you through, obviously, through Clint and Mark Silberman and several other knuckleheads that we grew up with. You were from the other side of the tracks, though.
Yeah, but we used to always have that conversation about houses and condos. And it was houses or condos was... And we were houses. Well, I think you were houses, too.
I was
too.
Houses, too, but yes. I was on the bad side of the freeway. I was on the west side of the Nimitz. You guys were on the hoity-toity white boy
side. Yeah, I had
to
cross over the freeway to go to school.
What does that make me?
Ghetto? I don't know. What were you... Well, what it makes you is about four when we met.
Yeah, true. I was off of A Street.
A Street? Get in closer, Tim. What? A Street? Where were you? Where'd you grow up? What street?
Right off of Winton. Right by South Bend Mall. But I had to go...
That's nice. Yeah, that's a little better. Yeah.
Yeah, but I had to walk through the bad part to A Street to go to Sunset.
Oh, Sunset. When did they close? What year?
See, I graduated in 89. I think they closed it in 90 or 91.
Yeah, pretty quick after that.
Yep.
Remember Tony Chavez? He went to Sunset. You remember Tony?
I do not. Not at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have yesterday.
You benefited from our visits to Tony's place quite a bit. I'll tell you that much. I met Tony through Bob as well. That was
another bad influence.
Are you wanting more Bloody Marys?
Mm-hmm. He gave it to me.
Why are you whispering?
Oh, but you can hear me, so I
suppose. We can. It's all right.
No, it's not.
But now he took it away, which means I need another one.
That's, I can do that.
That's Betty, our local liquid drug pusher. Or bartender, as we call him here.
Oh, she likes Bar Wench.
Yeah,
I do,
bar
too.
Bar Wench. How were the Bloody Marys, Tammy?
They are fantastic.
Good? You liked it?
Food is
Hey, give us,
phenomenal.
Before we get talking, this is our back-to-school episode since it's almost September. And back when we were kids, September was back-to-school. It's all changed over the years.
Exactly. It was always after Labor Day.
Before we start on our back-to-school episode, Tammy, give us a little rundown of the food. Give us a review. Nobody listens to this, so don't worry about it. You can talk as bad as you want about it. Not language, though.
But you said I couldn't use cuss words.
How was the food?
The food was phenomenal.
What'd you have?
I had the crab cakes Benedict, and it's food porn.
It was delicious.
It was extremely good.
I had that yesterday. This is day two in a row for me at Cork and Cuisine. What'd you have, Ronnie?
I had the cowboy omelet.
Get in there close.
The cowboy omelet was just... It was.
Did you have to wear a special hat to eat that?
No,
because I noticed
think
you're
so.
Wearing the chaps and nothing else. But
yeah, well, I brought that in from home.
Yeah, Clorox wipes before you get off that chair.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're local. They're from Pleasanton.
How was it? How was the cowboy?
No, it was. I mean, the food looked great. The presentation was great. The food just it tasted better than presentation. I mean, you don't see that for the prices that you get here. It's incredible.
Okay, now cut to the chase. How was the Bloody Mary?
Well, you know,
was the third one better than the second one?
wait a minute. I haven't had a third yet. The third's coming.
Oh, okay.
You know.
And Leslie Earl Lyman, without his guitar. What did you had the same thing I did, didn't you?
Yeah, well, you know, usually what I get, I eat here a lot. I love this place. I perform here some. I eat here a lot. My favorite breakfast is what she has. I always tell people, get the crab cakes.
It's so good.
You know, it's ridiculous. And, it's ridiculous today.
I forgot he was still way down.
Yeah, you turned him off for good reason.
No.
I just met him. And now I already know why we turned
him off. It's an ongoing thing. You know, it's an ongoing thing. You know, because he has to pay. He just has.
Well,
to
I
pay.
Turned you down because I don't want anybody to say that I turn you on.
That's to.
There was a pause there.
No, everybody just got a visual, and now we all need to go.
Hold on.
Some religious
hold
help.
Hold on. You hear that sound? That's my 10,000 listeners switching over to another podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, but no, I had the carne asada omelet today because I really hadn't had any of the omelets. I usually just get that because I know what I like. It's wonderful. It's not something. This whole place, it's not something you usually expect. It's small. Sherry, the owner of this place, makes you feel like you're coming to her kitchen to have dinner or lunch or something. You know, it's like it's always it's always like cheers. Everybody knows my name, which in my case is not always a good thing.
What's bad for you on those, Tammy, is the olives. Those will give you a headache in the morning.
I thought it was the lime, Matt.
the limes are your kidney or liver.
This is just wrong. It's wrong. Anyway, but yeah, it's like, and I'd like to point out, I am the only sober person at this table.
I'm drinking coffee.
I'd like to point out that I'm the only sober person at this table.
You had caffeine.
Speaking of which, that brings us right to our back to school episode. Now, again, I'm not. Having just a small son, my little six-year-old guy, I was not in tune with the school year for decades. Even though I worked at the schools, it just didn't click that out here, when we moved out here to Arizona, they start a little earlier. It was like mid to late August, and I was always used to that September after Labor Day thing. Now they're starting the first week. He started, I think, August 3rd, whatever that first Monday in August was. Just not something I'm used to. And it throws me out of whack a little bit. What was it for your kids? Now, how old are your kids?
18, 17, but within... my oldest is turning 19 on September 9th. So Taylor's turns 19, and Amanda, my 17-year-old, will be 18.
14 months apart.
Yeah, 14 months.
Give it a break, Ronnie.
Well, you know, I heard that for, about 19 years now. It seems like it, you know. The kids were really close together in ages, but it worked out great that way. You know what? I don't know when it changed, but when we went to school, it was always after Labor Day. And now all of a sudden, you know, it same thing here. It's in August, even in California for us.
Yeah.
So, actually, our youngest, Amanda, just started her first day of college yesterday, actually.
Oh, yay. There?
Yeah. It's
there, as I point, this is an audio podcast.
Yeah.
There?
Yeah.
At that place that's on your shirt? Where's she going?
She's going to, both their kids are going to California State University, Stanislaus, which is in Turlock. So, it's about 30 minutes away.
What's their mascot?
It is a...
Can't see.
Apparently, a dude wearing a helmet.
A Trojan. The no, Stanislaus it's condoms.
I don't believe. now you're asking me, and I don't remember. Man, I better go back and look. It's not a Trojan because it's not USC.
Tells us there's no swearing on the show, and now it's rapidly becoming at least R-rated here. You know?
No. I keep it clean.
It's a beautiful campus, though. It really is. It's
beautiful part of the country, beautiful part of California, the state. School has changed a lot since the dark ages when I was there. Now, we'll switch gears a little bit here. Les, When did you graduate high school? Or what, let me remember, when did you go to high school? Okay. I don't want to put any...
We don't know if you actually graduated.
I graduated high school. Like, I was literally and figuratively, like, I think I was like the third from the bottom of my class, you know, and...
What year?
1979.
79?
Yeah, yeah.
My brother was 79 out of Mount Eden. What part of the country?
Manassas, Virginia. I went to Stonewall Jackson High School, which is still there. It's a suburb of Washington, D.C. It's about an hour outside. When I was there, it was just turning from, well, much like Prescott Valley is now. It was a bedroom community for D.C., and it was like rapidly turning into the urban suburban area.
Yeah,
you know, there was like places when I was a kid we swam in Bull Run Creek, you know, like, and that's like, was when I was like, we moved there when I was like 9, and you know, we swam in Bull Run Creek, we rode our bikes, you know, there was these big fields, you know, it was really cool. And by the time I got out of high school, all those fields were softball fields or public parks or stuff like that, and Bull Run Creek was starting to, you know, be not some place that you wanted to swim in.
You're primarily known in this area for your contributions and your activity in the music scene. Yeah. Were you doing music in high school and before?
I started playing guitar and I was like 14, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, mm-hmm, I started doing that. And like,
did you play for school, like school band?
No.
And stuff, or just
no. I played football in school.
Yeah,
it was like played football in school, but like there, I always liked guitar. I always liked music because girls like guitar.
Note to self, is that buy true? Guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, like I'm pretty, like there's I talk about it in a
why
song
my kazoo
I wrote.
Career never took off.
I put it in a song I wrote about my good friend had learned. You know, he learned guitar, and like I noticed that girls liked that, and it was interesting to me, and I found I liked it. You know, and like in the end I liked it actually more than for itself than the girls, you know, which is kind of a big deal for like when you're 14, you know.
Well, you at least have to be good at it if you're going to continue.
I think that you get good at what you like to do.
Like to play the guitar, but as my oldest daughter Taylor always says, you have no musical ear whatsoever.
Well,
and I couldn't do it if I tried. She tried to get me to play one chord,
but
and I could not do it.
But what I'm saying is that you don't the thing is it's not enjoyable to you. Does that make sense?
It's not enjoyable to the people that listen.
Well,
that's really not the issue.
The thing is that you get good at stuff that you will spend your spare time doing it. And like, if you're willing to sit there and pound on it, you will reach a certain level of competence. I mean, you might not be Eddie Van Halen or like whatever guitar player you might like, but you will reach a certain level of competence after a while. You ever heard that 10-year theory? You know, if you work on something for about 10 years, that you'll become competent at it. And there's a difference between being competent, right, and then being a world-changing player. And like, nobody really plays guitar, I don't think, or an instrument, I don't think, at first anyway, because they think they're going to change the world. But they're like, wow, I really like fiddling with this, you know. I know people are like that about cooking and math or like fixing cars, you know. You get good at what you like to do and what you spend time doing.
I didn't have the discipline for music. I've talked about this on the show before, but my foray into music, I really wanted to play saxophone in second grade, and by the time my parents decided to let me sign up for music, the only thing left was violin. And I was horrible. I didn't have the discipline to practice it, and I never got it. The first time my dad actually heard me play, he says, "Okay, you don't have to play anymore."
In grade school, when they sort of make you do school band, right? You know, which like remember when there was music programs in the school and stuff.
Oh yeah,
and in grade school and stuff. I chose to play viola. And I that was interesting, but it was not my instrument, you know. And
that's anyway. An instrument?
What is that? I don't even. Is that like
it
a cello?
Is, no, it's no. somewhere. It's somewhere between. It's somewhere it's, actually is a larger version. It's like a baritone violin is probably like the best way to do it. It has it looks similar, but it's larger
gotcha.
And it has a deeper voice. So a lot of times when you see chamber quartets, you will see a violin, a viola, a cello, and maybe another violin, maybe a double bass. You know,
what teachers back in the day, whatever level of school, was there any teacher that had a impact on you that you kind of still feel the influences to this day or no?
That's tough because I'm like you, man. High school's a blur. You know, high school's
Matt
a blur.
Matt didn't go to high school.
You know? I was there every day. I had a hall pass.
I was there with you. This is probably the first person that's actually been on the show that actually went to school with you.
I mean,
all right. So
mostly, I think mostly, you know, school in the 70s, like school in the 70s, and in that suburb of DC and stuff is like, it was a different thing. It was like you know, you can't even compare. What I took for granted is basic school courses, right? You know, like in even not just in high school, but the whole thing from the beginning. We're like, you know, we had access to, you know, like this, like in fifth grade, we had a science room that had little Bunsen burners, and you know, we did experiments and stuff like that. And in high school, there were programs available to you. Like I think the primary thing I did in high school was like try to play football and figure out that like I was not like I could have fun with it, but I wasn't ever gonna like be, it wasn't gonna be more than that, and trying to make it through school to please my dad, and the loud music club, which I remember, which is like we ended up doing all the AV stuff for the school, and so it was total audiophile geek, you know, Macintosh, like, you know, all those old like tube amps, you know, back from the day. Like we would do those things and fix them and buy them and do that. So.
I went to Palmasia, like I said, on the other side of the highway from where Ronnie went.
Yeah, you can keep on mentioning that if you want.
That was in the ghetto part.
Yeah.
But kindergarten and first grade, and then second grade, I went into a combo class. It was second and third grade, and that's where I met Bob for the first time.
Oh
he was
God.
In third grade. I was in second in Miss Chambers' class. And we knew each other. We hung out with each other, but kind of lost touch a little bit after that until Calaroga. But my second grade teacher, no, I'm sorry, third grade teacher, was Miss LeBlanc, and she was really, really cool. She was kind of almost like a hippie-ish kind of teacher. Drove a 240Z, a little brown one, and she was really, she would play music in class and stuff like that. And that was like, I think the first teacher that really helped me enjoy class, you know, because she made things fun. And then in fifth and sixth grade, I had the same teacher, and it was really cool because my older brother Gabe had her. She was like the cool teacher, Miss Rosendale. And she was, I'm trying to think, she was probably in her early 20s when my brother had her. So a few years later, I had her, but she had like the cool kids in the neighborhood all got in Miss Rosendale's class. Do you remember the Wicked Eye on Mission across from the cemetery? By
Sounds
Bert's
like a bar.
Big and Tall. It was a go-go club.
Well, Tammy didn't let me go in those places.
No, it closed up before
was
we
like
were
12.
No, when we were kids, we would pat. It was the Wicked Eye. It was the Wicked Eye. Anyway, it was right across from like by Moreau.
What's a go-go club?
It was like kiddie like, dancers and stuff.
So it was. So
oh,
it
that's
was like,
right. That's the place my dad would always point out to me.
Yeah, that's what we.
Yeah.
So it was sort. So basically, it was sort of like it was kind of like a strip club, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Never went in because it closed up when we were like in
Tell
junior
the truth.
High.
No, Tell the
it,
truth, man.
It closed up when we were.
You didn't have a fake
but
ID
no,
to get in
this,
there.
This was the rumor.
He was part owner.
Was that Miss Rosendale danced there? And everybody swore to it. And I'm sure it wasn't, but that was the rumor. That was that she
well, that
danced
sounds
there.
Like a rumor that you'd have
oh,
in
yeah,
elementary
yeah.
school.
And, So that was the rumor about. So sorry, Miss Rosendale, but that's what everybody thought you know, were. A dancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice, Matt. This is what she's going to be remembered for, yeah. Not her years of selfless service.
I've talked to people who were in that class, and they all have that same recollection that she was a go-go dancer.
So I actually had the same teacher for first, second, and third grade. Her name was Mrs.
Well, you were
Brown.
Held back.
I was not
I'm
held
kidding.
Back.
Yeah. Smartest kid in second grade, yeah, but he was 14 at the time.
Yeah, first, second, and third grade, Mrs. Brown. So she was an awesome teacher. And then,
and where was that? Where were you?
Eldridge Elementary School. Yeah.
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 God.
Good old. That was on the other side of the tracks. In this case here, the other side of the
tracks. You guys
are
making me feel like I have some kind of selective amnesia because I cannot remember. I can remember incidents outside of school, but like, and some things that I definitely shouldn't have been doing in school, you know, but like teachers and like that stuff, man, like, maybe, you know, like there's no, like, I was like, you know, I was more interested in getting. Through that, the best part of high school was the smoking area before school, and then on your breaks, and then like
right, that was behind the bleachers, right?
No. Yeah. We actually had a designated smoking area.
They used to.
Oh, that's right. We went to school
area.
In California.
Yeah. We had a designated smoking area.
They did at Mount Eden.
Sunset had the same thing. We had A
and
hall,
was
B
like,
hall,
like,
C they, hall, D hall.
Really?
This gets better. Like another incident that sticks out in my memory is that. They decided they were going to shut it down because there was a lot of things going on in the smoking area. It was like a prison yard, man. There was a lot of contraband. There were a lot of transactions going on. That's all I'm going to say. That I may or may not have been part of. I'm just saying. And and they shut it down, and the entire like almost the entire school like walked out over it. There was they walked out of class and stood there in front of the school, and the cops showed. It was like this huge deal.
A big protest.
It was like this big
protest. I picture him going to school like in room 222. Remember that guy? Bernie with the big
No, it's more like Welcome Back, Cotter. And Welcome Back, Cotter was actually on when I was like, but it was more like that. It was more like that. There was just we were all.
So you were 79, we were 84.
I was 12.
What year? What grade? What class? Did you graduate?
89.
Holy cow, dude.
Yeah, 10 years after him, we were 84. Now, what other elementaries were around by Eldridge? Because we had Palmacia, and then like four houses up was Eureka.
We had Schaefer. Schaefer was close by.
Right.
I don't remember the other ones.
Because there were two elementaries in my neighborhood, and half the kids went to Palmacia, the other half went to Eureka. So we all kind of knew each other.
Did you guys walk?
I was four houses away from my elementary
school. That's the reason you were late all the time.
No, that didn't happen until high school.
That's true.
That didn't happen until high school.
Yeah, we know that story.
That's like you're talking about things that had changed. Like, I walked to elementary school. Yeah. I used to walk to high school before, most of the time, until one of my buddies got a car or that I got a set of wheels or whatever. You know, that was something they don't do that now.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Hayward, where we grew up, so, you know, 20 miles south of Oakland, was at the right now they're at about 150,000, 160,000, but Hayward back then was like 90 something, maybe Creston at about 100.
Yeah, it was like
a small area. We had Mount Eden, Tennyson, Sunset, Hayward High, and then two continuation schools, Bret Hart, and what was the other one?
I don't know. I didn't go to that one.
Gabe did.
Well, we had Moreau, too, which
and
was
Moreau.
A Catholic school.
Yeah.
You guys are killing me. You guys remember the other schools. I'm like, God, what happened to me?
Five,
I
six
need therapy,
high schools in this small town. Ours was across the street from my house, but we had the two neighborhood elementaries where everybody knew each other, but when we went to Calaroga Junior High, that's when we, you know, like six different elementaries feeding into the junior high. And that's when we started meeting kids from over by Chabot.
That's where things got really
and over
kind
by
of
Southgate.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, that was... what do you remember most about junior high, Ronnie?
No, I think what you just said. I mean, all of a sudden you had your friends that you went to elementary school with. And then now all of a sudden you had all these other, you know, these other kids that... came from different neighborhoods and so forth, and it was just, you know, you kind of expanded your horizons with your friends, you know.
Yeah.
And pretty soon it's just like, hey, Mom, Dad, I got to go over here. I'm going to hang out with my buddy, you know?
So you kind of stuck in the same group, the kids you grew up with.
I did, yeah.
I went the other route.
I was on the other side of the freeway.
I went the other route because I got in through the magic of Facebook and social media, I've reconnected. Did you know Danny Churches?
I did.
I knew him since second grade.
I haven't heard that name since I've been out of junior high.
Jarrett Kuhn, Danny Churches.
Well, Jarrett Kuhn, yeah. We're on Facebook together.
Jarrett Kuhn, Danny up in Churches, Oregon. Myself, Paul Busey. Do you remember Paul Busey?
Yes.
We all went to elementary school together. Once we got to junior high and through high school, I didn't hang out with them so much. I started hanging out with you and Clint and Robert Herman. Mark Silberman.
And you're giving... My liver is starting to hurt.
It's starting to sprain that liver. But that's where I started hanging out with, and I kind of lost touch with the elementary school kids, but I've recently reconnected with both Jarrett, Danny Churches, and Paul Busey on Facebook. And did you know Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know where he's at now?
No.
He's basically a pirate.
I got a ship.
I thought you were going to say prison.
He it's very vague. We've traded some messages. Ship? He needed to leave the country. And he moved to the Philippines several years ago. And he's living like a king in the middle of nowhere in the Philippines. And he's as close to a pirate as I know.
That was my other idea before I met Tammy.
You know,
she steered me the wrong way. I ended up in Modesto.
As an aside, there are still pirates in the Malacca Strait. I mean, like everybody talks about Somalia, right? But there's still like in the Malacca, the Straits of Malacca that go through the Philippines. There are still pirates. Maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe that's what we should be doing.
No, he's riding a motorcycle and smoking cigars. According to his Facebook page, that's all he does, is ride his motorcycle and smoke cigars. But he...
Nice. All I do is work.
Yeah. But it's just interesting, again, through social media and stuff, reconnecting with these guys, going, man, how... And finding out where they are and you know, who they married, Mitch Matthews and Lamantia. Which one did he marry? And hooking up with old teachers on Facebook.
Not in that way.
Connecting. Okay,
connecting,
I feel better now. I feel a little better now.
We're not, but yes.
I kind of got introduced to a new group of friends in junior high, and those friends, yourself included, and all those guys. And then I reconnected with Garcia after a few years of not really having much contact with him. And
well,
then
well, look
we
at
were
us. I mean, we went for
school.
20 years before we saw each other until last year. Now all of a sudden we're like, I don't know. What would you say? You know, Facebook buddies here 3 years.
I don't want to talk to like most of those people that from school, right? I'm not interested in what they're doing now.
Have you ever been to a high school reunion?
No, and I'm not going.
Well, we've never had one.
Well,
or I wasn't invited.
I found out this
they've
on our
5-year
reunion in 1989. I bumped into somebody at Southland. I was still living in the East Bay, and I bumped into somebody, and they go, hey, what's going on with our reunion? I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, that's the reason why. Matt, okay, wait a minute. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm going to interject here. Matt was the historian.
I was supposed to
reunion.
High school reunions.
So that's the reason that it's been 31 years now, and we haven't had one.
They've had a couple. There was a 10-year, and I think
you weren't involved with it.
No, I've never been to one.
Yeah, neither have I.
But I honestly, there's not a whole lot of people that I would like to spend time with. Yeah.
I mean, like the only reason it's like it for me, it's like the only reason that we knew, like that I knew those guys, we knew each other because we happened to be in school at the same time. I have, you know, like there's this great movie called Gross Point Blank. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Oh yeah,
it is like, you know, like it is exactly. I mean, minus like what the, you know, like the main character's job is and stuff, but it's sort of like, you know, like there are people that stay here. There's people that stay where they're at, and they stay there. And then there's the rest of us that leave and stuff. And you go back and you talk to these people, and there's this little bit of time that we shared together. Really, I mean, really, of your whole life. And we went through, like, you know, we went through probably one of the most horrendous parts of our life, high school.
I loved high school.
You're like, most people
you
I know.
You did, Matt. You
most
did.
People I know that unless that was their glory days, you know, which, like, you know, I mean, I would not I would not want to do that whole thing again. Like if I had to do it exactly that way with all the, you know, the growing up and stuff and the whatnot. But we had this little bit of time when we had something in common. It's like kind of, it's kind of like when you go, it's almost like when you're at work with somebody. You work someplace for like 5 or 6 years. And then you see those people again, and the only thing you had in common was your job. You know, that's it. You have nothing to talk about anymore.
We had fun.
We all got old and fat. That's like, I mean, I'm old
and... Some of us started that way. That you just described junior high. Junior high I didn't like too much.
Yeah, but it didn't have to be like your glory days. But I can look back, and there's a couple of friends from high school.
Yeah.
We left California and went to Idaho, and I lived there for about 6-7 years. So when I came back to California, when I started at Sunset, they started 8th grade. So I went there 8th grade through 12th instead of 9th through 12th.
I remember they closed Calaroga. When we were seniors, they brought in the 8th grade, 7th or 8th graders. Yeah.
So here I am. I'm coming back to California, and I don't know a single soul, and I'm starting high school. And there's two friends, Lori Astashi and Ray and Libby, that I will never, ever forget because those were people who were in Janice Kaling that I will still remember the rest of my life. I don't see them very often. One of them lives within 5 miles of me, and I only found out like 5 or 6 years
ago. Take her to the tap room, then you'll see her every night.
Well, that's just it. Well, it's one of those things.
Oh, wait. This episode is also brought to you by the tap room. Give them a plug. Where do you find it?
That's right. Tap room, Modesto, California.
Tap room, Pub and Grub, right?
Pub and Grub. Michael is the
Now we have to do a podcast there. So.
No, we're planning on it already. We got
that would be awesome. Yeah.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
I've got a van. Jump in.
Oh.
I don't know, man.
We'll 900 miles with a 6-year old.
Bad News Bears breaking training.
when we drive places, man, it's just not good. It's like,
so. But see, this is where things separated for me a little bit. Like you said, we went decades without seeing each other. In freshman sophomore year, when I started working for Fashionelle doing photography, me and Bob both worked there.
And you worked when you were just a kid.
Yeah, well, I was working like 3 jobs.
What do you think
back
he's doing
then?
To Anthony? Jeez,
well, so I know. He's working since son's working. Like, he's like 6 now. He's already got like
on the child labor laws.
It's like that. Remember in Living Color, the Jamaican family. Everybody had 27 jobs. Yeah. You know, there you go.
Well, me and Bob both worked for the studio, and then we went back and forth from Fashionelle to Reynolds and that. But it was a job that we enjoyed doing. That's why we were always at the other high school, shooting games and stuff after school. Remember, Davy Jones was working for us for a while doing dances.
Yeah,
you were
true.
Always there.
Yeah.
Putman was there.
I was just carrying your bag.
It was our hangout where we would go and work. Well, flash forward, when I got out of that business in like 98, 99.
You probably shot mine.
Probably. After Fashionelle died, I kind of got out of the business, and I went to work for that security company. I did the same thing. I was at work 19 hours a day, and I lost track of everybody for a number of years. And then when I moved out here, and we talked about this when you were out here last year, it was kind of to the point where I was like, you know, I'd trade messages with Bob. I'd trade some with you every once in a while, but I was always reluctant. It's like, this is what triggered it. I started seeing posts about Ray O'Connor passing. And I was like, I didn't know he died. And then I started thinking, who else is that? I haven't talked to these people in 20 years. I was afraid to ask Bob, is your dad still around? You know, your dad. I was like, right. I didn't know. When we talked that night, I was like, this is kind of embarrassing, but it's not. How's your family? Is your family?
Yeah,
we're
all at that age now.
Yeah,
you know,
like, and it was, you know, these guys, yourself, Bob, who I saw 7 days a week for 10 years, and then all of a sudden nothing. It was kind of like, how do you...
Right.
How
no,
do you
that's
do that? It was
thing,
an uncomfortable
you know?
Situation.
Well, that's
yeah,
what really
absolutely.
What Facebook, like for a lot of people... I mean, and anybody that's on there, Facebook or social media in general, there are people that I remember from high school. There's a, you know, like Paul and Gary and, you know, like Paul and Gary and some, like some other guys. But we were tight, you know, but I don't know. I still don't know what Paul's doing, but I ran into Gary, you know, and you catch up and, you know, and you talk to each other, but they still are swear, like I left. you know, and it's like I'm not from Manassas anymore, you know. Like,
yeah.
Everybody there, I swear to you, I'm talking to these guys. They're all still doing the same stuff that we were doing when we were 18 and 17. They have these sketchy construction jobs, and they're doing, you know?
What threw me is, like I said, Anthony's only 6. We're married 21 years. And all Bob's kids are grown. And then I'm thinking, like, how many kids does Bob have now? How many kids is, you know, who has kids? And I see your girls, they're like, you know, when I started seeing you on Facebook, they were already in high school and stuff. I was like, my goodness.
And we waited 5 years before we even decided to have kids.
Good. And then you had like 2 in a row.
Actually,
like, if you stop and think about it, man, it averages out pretty good. Yeah, it's like, you know,
well,
it's like
you.
two kids and yeah, two kids in like that. Was like 7 years. That's
see,
good.
This is what Sandra likes to say. I only have one child. She has 2 kids. They're twins. They're 45 years apart. School teachers, who had an impact on you, Tammy? Anybody really stand out?
You know what? Thinking about high school,
any year, anything.
Well, for me, I don't remember like anything before high school, and then I don't remember anything after that.
From this weekend, evidently.
Maybe
yeah,
with
that. Yeah.
No
doubt.
Feel the same way, even with hypnosis, maybe. You know?
No, that would be your art teacher.
No,
right?
My art teacher, Miss Mickelson, and I'm friends with her on Facebook.
Yeah.
She hasn't changed a bit, but she was just phenomenal. She was just one of those teachers who let you be who you were. It was art, so.
Sunset. At Sunset.
Who else are you going to be? But when you're in art, you're like, you know. You just have to be who you are. And she would let us come in and kind of do what we wanted.
Yeah.
She doesn't know some things, and we won't go there.
And Anthony may at some point listen to this podcast.
Right.
So
we will only
be discussing things that Pop didn't get arrested for.
Correct. And he was only concerned about my ripped jeans
Now you let him know that you've been arrested.
Oh, no. His mother let him know that a long time
ago. You know what I think is kind of funny, though, is how our kids, they just get a kick out of the fact that, you know, I'm friends on Facebook with our... my high school counselor, right?
She's Kathy
Schwerer.
She was
only posting yesterday.
Yeah. Yes. Now, you put something up as we were walking into the saloon last night, and she commented on it immediately.
Yes, she did. She made a couple of comments.
Well, who had an impact? Schwerer, you think? Or who was the...
Well, certainly as a counselor. There was, you know, through the years, there's always, you know, a handful here or there.
Yeah.
Actually, in college...
You went to college.
Yeah, I did go to college.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Well, whatever.
Some of us
I went through college. I just didn't get any on me.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to say that, you know, my college career was kind of influenced by Matt Santos a little bit here. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not, because...
I allowed you to stay up late and study.
You know, my oldest daughter asked me, like, what classes did you take in college? And I honestly couldn't really remember all my classes.
Where'd
you
go?
I went to Cal State Hayward, which is now Cal State East Bay. But I ended up having to order my transcripts just so I can remember what classes I took. And then she looked at him, and she's like, Dad... You got C's, and you get mad at me when I get B's? I'm like, well, you know, different time, different era, you know. But, George Emish was my geography teacher, and he was just a fabulous teacher. And so I ended up taking that. Not that I have anything to do with geography anymore with my
line
of
work. Well, you got here.
I did, yes.
And you drove.
I figured out where Arizona
California.
Was.
MapQuest.
I drove.
Oh.
Well, yeah, Tammy drives. No, because that's the reason that she drives, and I'm the navigator.
See, when I took geography, it was a lot easier because the world was flat, and it was just
okay, Magellan.
Again, growing up as a elementary school, I think Miss LeBlanc and Miss Rosendale were the biggest impacts because they had fun while you learned. Again, junior high, I enjoyed the kids I hung out with, but the classes I didn't like. One of the reasons why is when I met Silberman. In elementary school, you're dealing with, you know, like math class, specifically math. I always did good in English. I enjoyed reading.
Well,
I enjoyed writing.
Mark was always good at
Well,
math,
this is the thing.
So
math
made us feel stupid.
Math in elementary school was addition and subtraction division. I
Not
knew how
like
to
it
do
is
that.
Now. Yeah.
And then later on, I got really good in fractions. you know, quarter.
Yeah, they're doing that in the third grade now, Matt.
No, I knew it from different things. But
those don't count. It's not the same.
Yeah. But I only know the metric system because of Tony Chavez and Bob Garcia. But in junior, so I did really well in elementary math. So when I went to junior high, they automatically put me in the higher math classes. And I was in math with Silberman. And I did not know what I was doing. But I did enough in class without understanding it. It's kind of like learning a foreign language just by phonetics and not knowing what you're saying. That's what math was like for me. And I did just enough to get by, didn't understand what I was doing, so they kept putting me in a higher math classes that I knew nothing about. That's how I met Mark. He sat in front of me in Mr. Wong's algebra class in seventh grade. And I did not know what I was like taking a foreign language you didn't understand.
Nobody,
but I couldn't get out of it.
You know, like the, nobody, like, if they taught music
really
the way they
teach
math, well, right? You wouldn't be allowed to sing a song.
Didn't know what I was doing.
Until you could read music. You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is people use math all the time. You know, like, in do you use algebra?
Or is
you
English
use,
saying I mean, maths,
yeah, no,
which
yeah.
we talked about last
yeah.
night.
Like, you use algebra, you use stuff like just to get, just to buy clothes or, like, you know, like, do stuff. I mean, you don't. It's not taught in a practical way, right? You know, I had huge problems, like, with math taught in that manner when I was in high school. I mean, I just barely, I had to have gotten through Algebra 1, Part 1, like, to get enough, you know, get a math credit to get out of high school. And then I joined the Navy.
What did they require for math? No, real quick, in math in high school, how many years did you have to take?
You needed a math credit.
Just one?
You needed a math credit, like, you had to take Algebra 1, Part 1, and Algebra 1, Part 2 to get an algebra thing. You know, so you needed, like, then that made a whole credit. And then, So I get out of school. I mess around with construction for a while and music and other things. Then I had my first recession. I end up in the Navy, and I end up fixing radars, right? Because that's, you know, I thought it was going to be a, I don't know, just how it worked out. Like, here we're gonna have you. They're gonna have to have you do this, okay? And so they kick me off the deep end in Great Lakes, right? Where they take you from zero to, like, a college level understanding of, like, you know, the kind of basic electrical stuff and math and stuff that you need to know how to do in about 3 months, you know. And I did fine. I did fine. You have to, like, you, like, learn. I did fine, and it was because it was for a reason. I was using it to do something.
Yeah.
Ohm's law is, like, it's algebra. You know, it's algebra. That's not taught to you as algebra.
Ohm was a guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a guy.
Yeah. No, I took electronics in college before I went into geography.
But it was for a reason. It was
random.
To learn how to do something, you know. And then, and that's really, you know, like, and then, and when it's taught dry like that, I mean, what the hell does it mean? I'm like, math. He's basically, what he says, like, I did horrible in class, but when it was for business. When it was for business, or whatever it was he was doing, you know, like all of a sudden you start, you know, it's fine, you know, it's not that big a deal, and, you know, I mean, yeah, I want to go back to like when school starts now, you know, the worst part I think about the summer for kids up here now, right, is that you have, like, when 4th of July rolls around, right, okay, it used to be the middle of summer, right, when we were kids, now. 4th of July pops up, and that's when you start seeing the school supplies for sale in the store.
Yeah.
And the kids are all, like, they're excited about
Yeah, but they're getting out
July.
When the spring clothes are coming out nowadays.
I think the most disturbing aspect of school now, and maybe this is just at Mingus Springs where Anthony goes, but he asked me the other day, he goes, "Hey, Pop, what does a hobo wear?" And I'm like, "What? What do you know about hobos? And I'm thinking, because he likes old TV shows, so I'm thinking, did they show one on the Andy Griffith show? I said, "What?" He goes, "Well, we learned about them in school." And I says, "What are you learning about a hobo in school?" He goes, "Well, it's in class, the hobo's teaching us about how our body works." And it made me really worried, because when we were kids, we had to learn about our body from the hobo behind the 7-Eleven, and he's learning about it at school. Turns out there's a program they're doing on in their computers that has a cartoon body.
Yeah, it's called virtual reality.
Where it's and they don't take quarters. And they show like a cartoon of the body, the circulatory system and stuff, and these hobos travel through your body and in the cartoon and show how
so
their body works.
But I thought hobos living in his body.
No, I got scared when he was telling me he was learning about his body from a hobo, and that I needed to talk to his teacher.
Yeah,
then he explained it, and we're good. We're good.
Okay.
Well, I just
again, it brings up those unlicensed proctologists.
What does a hobo wear?
And then he showed me in my closet what they wear, and that was a little more disturbing. And then he showed me Tammy's pants.
Yeah, and she didn't even use scissors on them. She bought them that way.
They charged her extra.
That's true. Because of the extra work that went into cutting them up.
Do they charge the same?
Now, in high school, going back to the ones in high school, because I want to bring this up, Kathy Swears was our counselor. Uh-huh. Well, Miss Adams was my counselor first, but she wouldn't let me transfer out of typing, so I requested a transfer.
You know, I tried that too. I got out.
Yeah.
That's the reason I never learned how to type, because I got out after 2 weeks.
Well, that's what all I needed to know was the keyboard so I can type stories for the paper. And once I was hunting pecking good enough at 50 words a minute, two fingers, I said, okay, I'm good. Can I transfer out? And she wouldn't let me transfer. So instead of transferring from my class, I requested a transfer from my counselor, and I got assigned Ms. Schwears, and then she transferred me out of typing.
Gotcha.
But nice. Ms. Schwears was how would you describe Ms. Schwears in high school? She was much on the younger side compared to the other
teachers.
Yeah, because
she, I mean, even to this day, she's on the younger side.
She looks
younger
than her
it's amazing,
Facebook page.
You know, just I don't know. She was just like she was your buddy that was just trying to point you in the right direction.
And sometimes that was literally
she's still
pointing
trying.
You in the right direction.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we'd gone to a couple dances and she pointed us out the door and says, you guys better go home.
She was very aware of things that we were experimenting with, and she allowed us to learn from our mistakes, I think is a good way to put it. Is that...
I think that's
again. Still,
she's still trying to remind you, but
still connected with her on Facebook. She commented on a couple of things last night. Mr. DeVinny was he was our
principal,
who was very, very. I don't want to say easygoing, but he was very approachable. He was a very good guy to talk to, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning as we're outside of his house.
Yeah, exactly. I don't remember what we were doing there at the time. I think we had toilet paper, maybe?
No, it wasn't.
No, we were just hanging out. That's right.
You know what it was. It was just before graduation, and he told me, because it was the thing, that, you know, his house got toilet paper at every graduation. And we were much more creative than that. He had an exact duplicate of his house created as his mailbox.
I knew it was something to do with this mailbox.
And early in our senior year, we borrowed it, and we would periodically send him ransom notes with pictures of his mailbox in various. We did one at the marina. I think we did one by the Bay Bridge. And he didn't see the humor in it, and his wife sure didn't see the humor in it. But those were kind of the pranks we did. I remember in the Dollar Saver, we listed his houses for sale.
Yes.
With a picture and a phone number, and listed it as in the real estate section. But those were more of
you can do that with a principal these days.
No, they couldn't.
You'd end up in jail.
Well, but those were more of the pranks we did. The everyday stuff was the toilet papering in the house.
Yeah.
Well, about a week before graduation, called me into his office, and he says, "I want to tell you that if my I'm sick of pulling toilet paper out of our trees." And I'm looking. I said, "That's not what we would do." He goes, "I know, but you'll know who does it. And I will tell you right now, if my house gets toilet papered again, you will not march with your class." And I said, "You can't do it." He goes, "I'm telling you right now, because you will know where it happens and who's going to do it." He lived in that cul-de-sac, and I don't know if you remember this.
He was up in the Hayward Hills, right?
Well, yeah, up behind Cal State.
Yeah, that's right.
So we went up there. and parked and waited till we saw David Doss's truck pull in.
Oh, there
and
you
Mitchell
go. Name them
oh,
now.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And we watched them all pull in, and as soon as they pulled in, we blocked the cul-de-sac and started laying on our horns. And
oh,
so he ran
cool.
everybody out and then called us over, and we were trying to not let him see what we were drinking. And they had started throwing the stuff up. So he goes, well, give me a hand getting this stuff down, and by the way, give me one of them beers. So that was the night before our senior breakfast, remember? Because we were up with them pretty much that entire night.
That breakfast wasn't as good as this morning.
You know, that was one of those things. That was one of the most interesting things about high school, I think, is that, you know, all of a sudden there's this line where, like, it was an age line, too. And it didn't feel any different at all. Like, on this side of 18, you were a kid, you know, on the other side of it, you could buy, well, actually in my state, at that time in my state, you could buy hard liquor. So all of a sudden you could buy hard liquor. You were an adult, and it felt absolutely no different being 17 or 18. All of a sudden you were kind of accountable for what you did.
Well, you could do that where we grew up too. The legal age was 21, but as long as you knew where Kang's Liquors was on Foothill,
yeah, that's right.
And Shamrock on Winton.
But it was my first experience. We're like, you know, the first experience, like, ready or not, man, here you are. Like, right now, here you are. Everybody's still, like, your parents and people that knew you when growing up, they still treat you like you were a kid. But you would go places, and some little kid would go, look at that man, mommy, with all that long hair, or something like that. And
they still say that to you, Les.
There was that point where you were like, you didn't feel like you had changed at all, you know. But all of a sudden, you were like a grown up.
I still don't feel different until I try and stand up too fast.
Well, you know, I just think
and then it all comes barely.
Matt, you're no different than when you were, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he is.
12, 13.
Yeah, he is. And the way you can tell is that the police aren't here. But that was that thing. You get up, you go up there, you put on a little robe. There's this big thing, and then all of a sudden, you have to make adult choices. You're like, what are you going to do with your life now? And you're like, I don't know.
I just put those off for a while.
I didn't make those. I still haven't made those decisions.
No, but like people
we're still holding back on those.
You to like, you know,
that's why
to
I'm
make
sitting in a wine bar.
Like,
that's why most people go to college,
right.
though.
Well,
most people go to college because they don't want to make those adult choices.
Well, see, the thing is that like that's something.
It's all good.
Like, just what the education I got in high school, man. They spend the first year and a half or 2 years of college teaching you stuff that you should have learned in high school. You go to math for rocks, you go to English for rocks and stuff like that. So they know you can write a paper, they know you can do basic math and stuff for anything else you have to do. When I graduated, right, even with the poor education that I have, man, I could write an essay.
Yeah.
I could like speak, you know, I could speak in more than 140 characters. You know, people in 1979, you could graduate and go to work and have without a college degree and have a job that bought a house and a car and stuff like that. So,
yeah, but a lot of that was just the person themselves. I mean,
that's not so. That's
simply
know. Not so.
I mean, you know, this guy Matt over here that I'm looking at. I mean, this guy. I mean, I always thought I was the smart one, but like I told him last night. Yeah, well, I did tell him last night. Anyway, this guy, you know, he just had a way of writing when he was. I don't know. Mr. Manning's class,
yeah.
Like a junior. I mean, this
you
guy
know, I
just,
never had
but,
Mr. Manning.
But,
well, I was only in there because you had.
There was an entire country of people that got they graduated high school and they went to work. They worked, and there were jobs you could do without that paid money.
And that brings up one of the other teachers. I said Davini, of course, is the administrator, the counselor, Ms. Schwerz. Mr. Schmidt, Maurice Schmidt, he was my journalism teacher, sophomore, junior, and senior year, let us basically run the paper however we wanted to, mistakes and all. Big ones at times, because we learned from them.
It's a big nail file you got there.
He taught me at a very early age to fact check, because he let me run a couple of stories that had huge errors in them to where I was getting calls from the school board.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Angus Young went to our school, right?
What? What?
Davy Jones?
You know, I mean, well,
his name in the yearbook was Angus
just
Young.
Just in journalism. Like, you know... Jack, like a lot of.
I forgot about that.
Well, just in like his field, like you didn't have to have a journalism degree to be a reporter. You could just go do it. And like, because you learn, because like you learn that stuff in school, like in high school. There was like, it was a different thing. So you would graduate school and like people would go, so what are you going to do? And I was like, most of my class, we all like, it suddenly dawned on us that, that all of a sudden we were eligible for the draft. All of a sudden we were eligible, all of a sudden we were supposed to file an income tax form, and that,
when are we supposed to start that?
You know, like for you, for you 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But there was that whole thing where like you got to, you put on your gown, you got off stage, and all of a sudden people started talking to you like you were that guy in the movie The Graduate. What are you going to do with your life? I didn't have the slightest idea. You know, I didn't have the slightest idea. You know, as far as I was concerned, man, I just sort of thought it was going to be a continuation of like the last 4 years. You know, and that didn't work out so well. But it was. I think that was the biggest thing for me and for most people when I talk to them is that all of a sudden, like particularly at that point, you know, like particularly at that point, it was a different economy, it was a different country, and you were expected to you were surrounded by people that were actually had gone to high school and they were running businesses and they were doing things, you know, and that's
none
all
of
they
my
had.
Friends were,
you know, that's all
I picked up and moved to
different kind
well,
of businesses.
Well, yeah, but yeah, see the thing is that
I
like,
moved to Nevada.
When did you graduate again?
89.
So 10 years later, right? 10 years later. All of a sudden, in order to do any of these things that I'm discussing, right, man, you know, journalism, like they won't hire you unless you've been to college for it. Like, if you were to go work for somebody, like anything, like it's highly recommended that you get at least a 2-year degree with some kind of like emphasis on like business or business administration or something like that, you know. And that's when they started teaching kids like, you know, these things that I graduated high school knowing how to do. Even as poor as I was at it, I was aware that you had to do these things.
Well, so true, because nowadays, I mean, you got to be able to go to college just to be able to get a job at McDonald's now.
That would explain so much.
Yeah, pretty much.
You guys
came out, like, you were what, 84? I think you said 83, 84.
I think that's what Matt said.
Okay, well, whatever Matt said, you know, whatever Matt said. But you know, that was the big. I think that was the single biggest thing that I remember about high school was that was this tipping point, where suddenly you were like you had reached this age of consent. Like nobody could tell you what to do because you were now accountable for your own actions. You could you couldn't blame your parents for stuff like that, and you were not. I wasn't even prepared for that stuff, you know, not at all. I was not prepared for that stuff at all, and I made a bunch. I made a bunch of mistakes. I'm sure, you know. I mean, it turned out okay.
I'm still making them.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's okay. That's how you learn things. But like, really, that was the biggest thing. Is you get out of high school, and if you're not going to college, then you go to work. You know?
Yeah, but you know what's tough for me, and Matt hasn't heard this yet, but it was tough for me because, so Matt and my good friend Bob, I mean, they went straight to work. I mean, and you know what? I mean, they're out there, and to me, they're making good money. Their jobs. Yeah, really. That was back in the day when he was making good money. No, I mean, so they had their jobs, you know, and they're doing photography and so forth, and I was trying to go to school at the same time, you know. I mean, I'm looking on one side, you know, and they're doing their lives. They got their, well, it wasn't an 8-to-5 job by any means, but you know, so I was trying to go to school and do that, and at the same time, you know, work part time and you know, trying to find my way between going to school and seeing what they were already doing as their profession. You know, it was kind of tough at that time, you know, because there wasn't necessarily that you have to go. I mean, it started getting to that point where, you have to go to college, but I mean, I kind of went just because that was what, you know, everybody, you know, my parents wanted me to do, but they didn't go to college.
Well, I would make the case that, like, nowadays it's actually gone back to where, you, like, it's actually better for you not to go to college because you don't accrue any debt. My middle daughter, like, she ended up living in Tucson, and she's worked at a 47 Scott, I guess, for a while. As she got up to there, she was making as a bartender, like, you know, I mean, with as a bartender, she ended up doing what's that New York pizza place down there? She was a personal assistant to that guy for a while. She learned a whole bunch of stuff by doing it. Got herself in as like a bartender, like, which is sort of like being a bar manager in a way, you know. And she was making like, you know, she was making like $35,000 or $40,000. She goes down there in Tucson, which is like, you know, she had a nice house to rent. She goes, you know, she went to Thailand last year on her own dime. She's living in New York City now, discovering that, like, you know, there's what she was making in Tucson, and then the same amount of money in New York.
You're living,
like,
in squalor.
Yeah, well, she's not living in squalor, but it's like it's tougher to do it there.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
She's there for a reason. But like she's finally going to school, but like it's for something, you know, it's going to be like on her dime, on her loans, on her terms, because she already like did some life, you know. And so now it's almost like it's gone back to that. Like you don't accrue college debt, and like we could do a podcast on my wife's college debt. You know, she's a pharmacist, and we really, you know, like we went all in on that stuff. You know, we owe a lot of money.
Yeah,
like we owe so much money on her education that the way it's probably going to get paid off is when, because they make you carry that insurance, is when she dies, it'll all just go away. It's like, you know, that was a decision, you know. It's, and that was a decision. And she, and she's a pharmacist, and she has a pretty good job. We raised our kids on it. We bought our house, you know, we're still buying our house on it, stuff like that. But to go to school to be an English major, and then to accrue $60,000 or $70,000,
you need
worth
to
of
have
debt,
a specific idea by the time, yeah, you get out of what you're going to do.
Well, yeah, but like that's not really what college or learning should be. Like I think a lot of the kids are doing now that I talk to them about it, and like some of the vets, and they go there, they get a 2-year degree, right, so that they have this piece of paper that shows that they went to college, and it proves that they can, you know, do, it proves you can do stuff. And then they go look and see what they want to do, and then when they want to go back to school, they go back to school, yeah, for a reason. And like, you know, I mean, and it's a difference between getting a 6-year degree in like applied like flower arranging, which is a real thing. You know, I swear to God, it's a real thing. Or like, you know, learning how to learn, and then going out in the world, and then figuring out what you want to do, and then going to school for that.
Well, I got my 6-year degree, but it was really only a 4-year degree.
I got a six year degree from like the United States Navy. Thank you.
I am working on my 30-year degree in trying to survive. Hey, we're about at that time.
Oh, really?
Real quick, what we're going to do is wrap up with a kind of a 1-2 sentence little thing about what you took away, whether it be elementary, high school, junior high, or everything combined. One lesson that you've taken away from your education. I'll start. Mine just happens to be that the older I get, the less I realize I know. So it's a continuing education, learning from, I think, the greatest teacher that I have ran across in my lifetime at this point, and it might sound corny, is my 6-year-old. Because I look at things through his eyes and realize it just teaches me that I know how little I know. So I'm getting to learn things again through him. So that's my educational tidbit. Tammy, what's a lesson that you've learned that you can still apply on a daily basis?
Wow. I mean, I look back at some of the friends that I've met again through Facebook and just reestablishing some of those relationships and learning once again, you know, the friendships that you had,
yeah,
that I think are very important, and social media, I think, is very important to this day. But which we didn't talk about, thank goodness. Some of the things, looking back at my own high school career, and knowing that my children have not done any of those things kind of puts a smile on my face and makes me really happy because...
So you have raised smarter kids than you were.
Very, very...
That you're aware of.
No, their
daughters keep them in check.
Yeah, they're very good. They question us. We don't bring up half the stuff that we've done.
I did when we were out there, and I got a little weird look from your daughters.
That's a good thing. It is a good thing.
Ronnie, you, what's a good lesson you still can apply to your life today?
You know, I don't know. I mean, just in the terms of going to school, you know, both my parents always were just happy that I actually went to school in the first place, right? But and then looking at that with the kids that we've raised, you know, happy that we raised two wonderful girls that are going to college themselves and just trying to let them learn on their own. And that's what you got to do. I mean, you know, we had some conversations last night that, you know, we sit there and reminisce about some of the things that we did. And you make it through it. You have to make your own decisions and work your way through it and ultimately do the right thing. And I don't know. I'm really happy the fact that Tammy and I have raised two wonderful kids that I always have that people look at us going, yeah, sure you did. No, but no, we really did. And they're two wonderful girls that are going to, you know, they're going to be successful in their own way in life. And I think ultimately in the, you know, education that I got, that's, you know, what I'm most proud about, really.
Les?
I learned two things. I learned two things from school and just the process of it. The primary thing is that your good luck is almost always in other people. It's almost always in other people. Like, you know, people that help you and you don't, like, for no reason sometimes, you know, and it might be somebody that, like, you know, that you meet just randomly, that kind of thing, you know. So, like, your good luck is on. So you try to surround yourself with, you know, people, good people, you know, and, like, if you do that, you know, no, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're probably going to be okay. I think the second thing that I've learned from school...
Find new friends.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The second thing that I learned is that is that it's always a good idea to be able to find your clothes when it's dark. In the dark. Just be able to know where they are.
Had I only known that in high school. So,
yeah. Those two things will get... You know, those two things are like the two main pieces of wisdom I pulled out of all that stuff.
All righty. Well, let's wrap it up. Look for Leslie Earlheim on Facebook, find out where he's going to be playing, which may be speaking out of turn here, September 9th at the Yavapai County Fair on Saturday.
Hey, Taylor's birthday.
10th. The 10th.
Not Taylor's birthday.
September 10th in the afternoon on the main stage.
And I'm at Big Daddy E's the day before out in Chino Valley where the barbecue liveth.
Good deal. You can find Ron and Tammy Pitts in Modesto, California at the Tap Room. Or at an Orchard Supply near you.
There you
can
go.
Find me lurking around where...
Does Matt have a tab there?
No,
we'll
I've only been
up.
There
We're
once.
We're going to set them
Let's
up.
Get one set up because I want to go there and eat on his tab.
We want to thank the folks at Cork and Cuisine. Cork and Cuisine PV.com. Come in, have some breakfast, have some dinner, have some lunch. The bottomless mimosas on Sunday brunch, I hear, is a treat to behold.
Spectacular food.
BigPineComedyFestival.com. The Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff, September 22nd through 24th. AZ House of Comedy. Check out my buddy Steve Simone. September 7th through 11th is he's going to be out there, and I'll be out there one or two of those nights. Check out his podcast, The Good Times Podcast, at goodtimesteve.com. The Yavapai Fair, yavapaifair.com for a schedule of all the activities going on out there. And if you got a takeaway from this, if you have a Ron and Tammy Pitts in your life, if you have a Miss Schweers or a Mr. DeVinny, keep in touch with them. Swap some stories. Make some memories. And think about the Bobby Garcias and the Mark Silvermans and the Gary Putmans and the
David Leesons
and all those knuckleheads in your life.
Oh,
and
Rob Herman.
Don't forget Rob Herman, the long-lost Robert Herman.
There you go.
all those fellas that you...
How bad is that guy that his name came up after someone said knucklehead?
Oh, no. He is the, Rob's initial awesome knucklehead.
Yeah.
Go out, make some memories, make some friends, and don't lose touch, even if it's through social media. Swap some stories, trade some pictures, and have a good time. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Mile High Show.
You find a judge on your going. You drop the car in.